The ascension of our Lord into heaven is exciting and inspiring, so much so that Luke mentioned it in each of his books. First, Luke concluded his gospel, which we just heard, by describing the ascension of our Lord. He said, Jesus led his disciples as far as Bethany. He raised his arms, blessed them, and then that gospel said he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. And then he begins his next book, the Acts of the Apostles. Remember, Luke wrote them both. He begins it by, again, referencing the ascension. And this time, after the ascension, the disciples see two men beside them dressed in white. And these men say to the disciples, "Why are you looking into the sky? This Jesus who was taken up will return in the same way he was taken up into heaven." We are waiting for that return of our Lord Jesus. Yes, it's the end of the world. We're ready for it. We want it to happen. And I've often prayed for it to happen on evenings before seemingly impossible exams in the seminary the next morning. I prayed, "Lord, come, end it, so there's no more need for the church." But I took the exam. But our Lord will come. We, of course, just don't know when, but we welcome it. It would be great to witness it, wouldn't it? Going to the Holy Land is powerful, and we need to take groups there outside of Jerusalem today on the Mount of Olives by Bethany, like the gospel just said. There is right there today the Shrine of the Ascension. It's a simple shrine, and it lends itself inside around an exposed side of the mountain, an exposed rock. And when you go in, you can easily find it just by looking for where the people are looking down. And as you approach this rock, you see in the stone two footprints. For centuries, this was long believed to be the last place where our Lord stood before the ascension. Both times I visited there, I got down and just wanted to touch it, just in case. It's a pious devotion, but it's powerful. And the second time I left that spot, I wrote some thoughts down in my journal about what that ascension meant to me. First, I just walked away thinking, people witnessed that. In fact, our faith is based on eyewitness accounts. When you walk through that door to come to Mass, we're not chasing some Jewish fairy tale. We are confirming what has been witnessed by people with their own eyes. And this is why the church gathered so quickly after Good Friday. Remember, after Good Friday, it all fell apart. The disciples went back fishing. There's only one thing that brought them together so quickly. In fact, they were ready to die so willingly, is that they saw him. They saw the resurrected Jesus. They saw the ascension. Remember that scene from The Chosen? Oh, I love The Chosen. I'll refer to it. You might as well just watch it and get it over with, so you know what I'm talking about. Remember that scene when St. Peter tells his wife he's going to go follow Jesus? St. Peter's wife asks, why? Why? And Peter said, I know what I saw. I know what I saw. And he's the Messiah. He had just witnessed the miracle of the catch, remember? We're here. And the church will always be here because of eyewitness accounts. It happened. And we confirm that. Secondly, my thought was, after Jesus left the earth, who does the work here now? I had a renewed sense after my visit that day to the Shrine of the Ascension of the need for the church. Now that our Lord is gone, we are doing his work here in the church. We are, in a sense, the rest of the story, Paul Harvey fans. We are the rest of the Jesus story. You, who are active members of the church. That's why we need the church. Bishop Sheen said at one point, he said, hundreds of people hate the Catholic Church. Millions more hate what they believe the Catholic Church to be. They just have this wrong perception of the church. Millions more hate what they believe the Catholic Church to be. The Catholic Church is above all still our Lord's instrument for salvation. It will always be. You can like it or not, it's not going away. And the first response of the church is their response in that gospel after they saw the ascension. They went to the temple to worship. They gathered to worship. That's why we gather to worship here. You can't do it on the golf course or at your cabin. You can't go to St. Mattress. You know what that is? Yeah. In college, before I went in the seminary, my friends who were hungover didn't go to Mass. They went to St. Mattress. Yeah. Doesn't work that way. You have to gather. That's what the church means, gathering to worship. That's the first response of the church, to come together to worship. Finally, I thought about change. Think about how those apostles felt when Jesus left. They must have felt lonely, maybe a little worried. They said goodbye to him. They had to let him go. But they had to change then how they lived. The ascension reminds me about change in our life. The only constant is change. We have to continually portray ourselves as agents of change. Cardinal Newman said, in heaven it's not like it, in heaven it is otherwise. But in this world, to live means to change. And he said, to be perfect means to have changed often. That's the beautiful charism, isn't it, of Pope Francis, whether you like it or not. He's an agent of change. The ascension reminds us in our life, what change do I need to embrace in my life? Or what change is before me that I don't want to embrace? Do I need to change my work or my attitude in it? Do I need to change a relationship or my attitude with it? We cannot embrace anything new unless we let it go. We cannot embrace anyone new in our life unless we let it go. Had they not let our Lord go, they never would have been able to embrace the Holy Spirit. Change. We have to be comfortable with it, or the Holy Spirit will not work through us as the Holy Spirit wants to. We're based on eyewitness accounts. We now continue the work of our Lord. And by the Holy Spirit, we have to be open to change. That's what the ascension means to me. What does it mean to you? Amen.